Today's shiur is Masech Techulin, Daf Lamed Zayin. And we will begin at the Mishnah, Daf Lamed Zayin, Omer Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Shoichet es hamusukenes. If somebody shechs an animal which is ill, the Gemara at the end of the shiur, Mr. Shem, will identify what that means. Machloik, the Taisus immediately asked the question, that when the Mishnah uses the word, Shoichet es hamusukenes, it seems to teach us that it's only acceptable b'diyevet, ha-shaychit, if one shechted. So Taisus disagrees, and Taisus says that even l'chatchila, one is allowed to shech the musukenis. And the reason Taisus says the Mishnah used this type of wording is because the next words of the Mishnah, as we'll see soon, is because the Mishnah says that you could shecht it, but it has to be obvious that it died because of the shechita. And that's why the Mishnah uses the words, so the word hashaychet is most appropriate. But Taisus holds, as do many Rishonim, d'lchatchila, you could eat the musukenis. Other Rishonim as well say that the reason the Mishnah used the word hashaychet is because the Mishnah speaks about in a moment if somebody shechted at night, and as we know, we've learned, well, we'll learn again that shechting at night is not l'chatchila. And that's why the Mishnah used the word hashaychet. Other Rishonim say that the reason the Mishnah used the word hashaychet is because so is the wording in many of the Mishnahs that we have learned and will learn, so the Mishnah wanted to remain consistent with the wording. But according to all of these opinions that we just quoted, you're allowed to shech the musukenes l'chatchila. However, there are other opinions that suggest, and we'll see that that was actually the practice of Yecheskel HaNavi, as we'll see in Amid Beis and Mitzvah Shem, l'chatchila one should not eat an animal that's a musukenis. And what is this machloikas Rishonim based on? So the Mefarshim explain that there's always a dilemma. On one hand, eating an animal that's a musukenis, as we'll see in the Mishnah and the Gemara today, there's a concern that maybe the animal would have died before the shechita is complete, and then you can't eat that animal. On the other hand, we also have to be concerned about the hefsid, the loss of the person who owns the animal, that if you're not going to eat his animal, he'll take a terrible loss. And we have to be concerned about the hefsid of another Jew. And that's really the basis of this question. May we shech the musukenes l'chatchila, of course, following the test that the Mishnah suggests, or should we not rely on that test, even though it may represent a hefsid, a loss to another Jew? Furthermore, the Paiskim all say that if we sech the musukenes, we can't make a bracha. We know that before we do shechita, we make a bracha. When you sech the musukenes, you can't make a bracha, because it's really possible that this animal is, the shechita will not be a valid shechita, and your bracha will have been a bracha levatala. So what's the best thing to do? The Prima Gadim says the best thing to do is to shecht another animal at the same time, which is not a musukenis, make the bracha on that animal, and have in mind the musukenis as well. What happens if you don't have another animal? So the Ramah says that shecht the musukenis, and afterwards do the test that the Mishnah suggests, and if it turns out that the animal is Baruch Hashem, fine, then make the bracha afterwards. What is the Ramah based on? The Ramah is based on, there's a similar situation. We know that a ger could only become a ger if he goes to the mikveh, but he can't make a bracha before he goes to the mikveh because he's not Jewish yet. So the halacha says that he should first go to the mikveh and then make the brachas. We see that's a precedent in halacha that you make the bracha after you do the mitzvah, even though normally you make the bracha before. However, many paiskim, the Taz, and many other paiskim disagree with the Ramah because they explain the ger, there's no other way for him to make a bracha. When you're not Jewish, you can't make brachas. You're not obligated to shecht an animal that's a musukenis. And therefore, shechting is not the same like geiris, and they don't agree with the Ramah's suggestion to make the bracha. We never make a bracha after the mitzvah is completed. Moreover, it's important to note, we're going to learn the sugya for more than one shir in Mitzvah Shem, the Tvuah Shor, we quote the Tvuah Shor many times in our shiurim, says that our minig, our custom is that we don't shech the musukenis. If we see the animal is very sick, we don't shech that animal. So says the Mishnah, when you shech the musukenis, you have a real concern did the animal die because of the shechita, and then it's kosher, or did it die because it expired on its own, or if that was part of the reason that it died, and then you can't eat the animal. So how do we know? So Shimon Gamliel's opinion is, achi tefarches b'yad b'regel. If it's mefarches, it does, it jerks both its foreleg, the yad of the front legs, or the back legs, the front legs and the back legs, that's an indication that it died because of the shechita. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Rabbi Lezer disagrees, he says, dayum zimka, enough that it spouts blood. And as we'll see in the Gemara, as the Mefarshim explain, it doesn't mean that there's blood in the place where you make the incision, because that blood is always there. It means that you could see that it spit blood after it died, but it doesn't mean that it spit blood, as we'll see on the walls, it spit blood on its body, that's a right that it survived. Amram Shimon, and therefore Rav Shimon says, Hashoichet b'layla, v'shechet by night, and you didn't see if the animal was mefarches, so how do you know if the animal was mesukenus or not? Well, l'macher hishkum amatzah k'solim meleim dam. In the morning you find, as I said, the walls of the animal's cavity full of blood, k'shera. It's obvious that it was kosher, because it's obvious that it's zinka, that it spattered blood, or k'midas Rabbi Elazar. Obviously, he's following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar that you don't have to, and we'll see this tomorrow, shir, you don't have to have pirchas, because in the morning you can't tell if there was pirchas at night, but zinka, you could tell in the morning. The Chum are the most lenient. They say, Ach tefaches oy biyad oy beregel. Rav Shimon Gamliel, or as we'll see, maybe it's Rav Gamliel, hold that you have to have pirchas both by the hand and the foot. They hold either one is adequate. Oy shete hashkes beheznova. Or it wags its tail. That's all a raya that the animal did not die because it's mesukenes. What is the halacha? What is the halacha if the animal did not show one of these simonim? So all the Rishonim, the Rambam and all the Rishonim suggest that animal is considered a full-fledged nevela, both lekula and lechumra. If somebody eats from that, he's tamei. If somebody touches it, he's tamei. Somebody eats from it, he was over the lava nevela. On the other hand, it's lekula as well. Why is it lekula as well? Because we know there's a din. You're not allowed to shecht the mother and its child on the same day. But let's say you shechted a mother or a child that was a musukenes and that doesn't show any of these signs. It's clear that this animal wasn't properly slaughtered and there's no din of oisavis benoi. And the achroinim go on to explain. The achroinim go on to explain as follows. They say an animal doesn't need pirchus. A regular healthy animal doesn't require pirchas. And here we're saying that pirchas is so essential. How do we understand it? So the Achronim explain as follows. An animal that's a musukenis, we have a real issue. So since most animals that are healthy are mefarchas after they expire, after they're killed, and this animal wasn't mefarchas, that's a raya that this animal didn't die just because of the shechita. But on the other hand, if we have a healthy animal that wasn't mefarkas, why are we allowed to eat it? Because there are a minority of animals that aren't mefarkas. So if I start with a healthy animal, I can attribute the fact that it wasn't mefarkas, that it is from the minority. Furthermore, the Rishonim and Achronim say, what happens if you didn't see? What happens if you didn't see if it was mefarkas? So you don't know. What is the halacha? So Rishonim and Achronim say you have to be machmer. And the Chasam Sofer explains that even though on one hand you have the fact that you did a proper shechita, on the other hand, says the Chasam Sofer, we have a cheskes ein zavuach. Every animal, as we've said many times in our shiurim, starts with a cheskes iser, and that's why we have to be machmer. Interesting vort from the Me'iri. The Me'iri says that even though our Mishnah is clearly indicating that if it didn't show one of these signs, you're not allowed to eat the animal, and we were very strict, we just said it's a nevela, it won't be metama like a nevela. So asks the Baron Kotler, I don't understand the Me'iri. Manavshach, if it's a nevela, it should be a nevela all the way. And if it's not a nevela, it's not a nevela. How do we pick and choose that it's a nevela as far as Hilchas Achila, as it's not a nevela Hilchas Tumma? So he says a beautiful explanation. He says as follows. As far as being allowed to eat a piece of meat, a Jew is only allowed to eat a piece of meat if it was properly slaughtered. If it didn't show one of these signs, that means it didn't die only through the shechita. It died also because it just expired. A Jew's not allowed to eat that piece of meat. As far as Hilchus Tum is concerned, as soon as there was some shechita, even if it wasn't the only contributing factor to its death, that's enough that it shouldn't be considered tameh. What's the raya? A trefa. A trefa we're not allowed to eat, but it's not tameh. So we see that as soon as there was any type of shechita, as minimal as of a contribution, as minimal as a contributing factor it was to its death, it's enough that it should take away Hilchus Tumah. Continues the Mishnah. Ech behema daka, ech behema gasa. This rule applies both by behema daka, behema gasa. However, says the Mishnah, behema daka shepash the yada. If a behema daka only stuck out its hand v'layot zira, it only went in one direction, psula. She'ena eloi tzos nefesh bovad. A behema daka, if it only took its hand out and then bring the hand back, that's not a simon that it died only because of the shechita. It has to go back and forth, and therefore, we have to be machmer. So I saw from the Sefer Chazon Yechaskel, from Cheskel Abramsky, he says a beautiful word. He says there's a girsa that it's not, that says ela kehoitzos, it's like. So he makes the following distinction. He says an animal, a behema daka, that wasn't mefarches at all, as we just kept on saying, will be considered a full-fledged nevela. And behema daka that only does a partial purpose, it sticks out its hand, but it doesn't bring back its hand, will be in somewhere in the middle. You won't be allowed to eat it, but it won't have the din of a nevela because it's not just clear where we hold with this. However, points out the Mishnah, b'medvar amurim, when was this all said? Only shayis b'cheskas m'sukenis. In a situation where the animal had a chazok that's m'sukenis. And as I said, we'll see this at the end of the shiur what that means. Ava mahoy b'cheskas b'riya, if the animal is a healthy animal, I feel ainba ech mikola simana malolu, even if it doesn't show any of these signs, and you did a proper shechita, it's kshera. Interesting machloikas achroinim. What is the halacha if the animal did pirchas, but it didn't do the pirchas immediately after the shechita? It only did pirchas later on. Many achroinim take a stringent view. They say it's only pirchas is only considered pirchas if it did it immediately. It's so often the Rechayim, Mechsalazer, they say our Mishnah doesn't make any such distinction. And therefore, any type of pirchas is acceptable even if the pirchas happened later. Our Mishnah is the basis for a very serious halachic discussion. Unfortunately, it's been part of the history of the Jewish people. Throughout our history, there have been attacks on shechita. And the attacks on shechita were always that killing an animal with shechita is cruel. We know that the Sefer Chinuch says not that way. But that's been always the attack. And one of the suggestions that our opponents of shechita have suggested is that the animal should be stunned, electric shock, before the shechita, and that will desensitize the animal from feeling any pain. Gedolei Yisrael, in all generations, have been very concerned about allowing the stunning prior to the shechita. And there's a tshuva, the Chalkas Yaakov has a tshuva, the Mechas Yitzchak has a very interesting tshuva in Chelek Beis, where he discusses this question, and he connects it very much to our Mishnah. He says that certainly we have to be concerned that electric stunning will create a situation where the animal is a mesukenes. And as even though our Mishnah says that after the animal is a mesukenes, we could rely on its pirchus to see what caused the death. So even if the electric stunning makes the animal into a mesukenes, he suggests, why don't we just look if there was pirchus? So he says that just like the electric stunning may make the animal into a trefa or mesukenes, it also may cause pirchus or make that isn't real and may only be because the animal is reacting to the electric shock. And therefore, he says that we can't rely on that pirchus. There is a tshuva from Rabbi Chiya Yaakov Weinberg in the sales, a tshuva Sri Deish. He lived in Germany when these laws were passed. And he said, B'shasa tchak, we could perhaps say that if the animal was electric stunned, you could eat it. One of his rayas is very much connected to this issue that's going to keep on coming up in Mitzvah Shem in the next parak. And that is, the Gemara says, treifa ein chaya. An animal that's treif, that's considered a treifa, cannot survive 12 months. So he says, if we'll do an experiment, and we'll have animals that underwent an electric shock, and still survive 12 months afterwards, that'll be a raya, that it's not a treifa. Of course, we don't rely on that simil chatchila anyway, and he only says it in a b'dievet situation. So ask the Gemara. Musukenis, m'may tam desharia. Our Mishnah is assuming that a musukenis is mutter. The only question is, if we know, to prove that it only died because of the shechita. But ask the Gemara, from where do we make that assumption? Ask the Gemara, and why would we think differently? Or my taisagadat and dasira, why would we think that a musukenis is usur, that we need a raya that it's mutter? Answers the Gemara, the Ksib, because the Torah says, Zois hachaya shetachelu, which we explain, chaya chol, only an animal that's healthy one may eat, fish ain't a chay, but if it's not healthy, loy toichel, we may not eat. V'o mesukenes, and this mesukenes, since it's not healthy, that's why we should say, ain't a chay, it won't survive long term, and that's why it should not be eaten. Answers the Gemara, what is the proof that a mesukenes is mutter, mid amrachmana, if the Torah teaches us the nevela loy soichel, they were not allowed to eat a nevela. We know a nevela is an animal that wasn't slaughtered properly. Mechlal, the mesukenes sharia. That's a raya that a mesukenes is mutter to eat. These salkadatach mesukenes asiri, if we're going to say that one may not eat a mesukenes, we have the obvious point. Hashta, if a mesukenes is usur, when it's still alive, but because it's a musukenis, it's asr, lachem misa mibayim. And there are two ways that the Rishonim explain this Gemara. One way that the Rishonim explain is every nevela is first a musukenis. This is very much a point they make throughout this shir. And since musukenis comes before nevela, if a musukenis is asr, so that already precedes it being a nevela. Why do I need a pasuk to tell us that a nevela is asr? That's one approach. Another approach is a kavachaymer. That a nevela is far worse than a musukenis. So if a musukenis is asur, a nevela is certainly asur. Why do we need a pasuk to teach us that a nevela is asur? They say we have a rule, ein onshin min adin. We can't use a kavachomer to teach us that something's prohibited. Here they explain it's not a kavachomer, because as I said, musukenis and nevela is two steps. That isn't a kavachomer. Ask the Gemara, who says that a musukenis and a nevela are two different things? Musukenis and nevela, in the lav of nevela, is included the issa musukenis. Answers the Gemara, we can't say musukenis and nevela is one and the same. Loi salkadatach, diksib, because the pasuk says, v'chi yomis min abahema shilchem la'achla, hanagei b'nevlasa. So the Torah, when it describes a nevela, says it's after it dies. A nevela is only nevela after it expires. Mechayim la'ikri nevela. While it's still alive, it's not considered a nevela. So we can't say musukenis and nevela is one and the same. So the Gemara persists. V'dilma la'olam emala chayin nevela chayin musukenis. It's all one iser. And way to understand it is as follows. Mechayim, before the animal expires, there's an iser asay. Because as the Rishonim will explain, since the pasuk says zois achay shetachelu, it's a lav haba mechlal asay, and a lav haba mechlal asay is considered a say. Lachamisa, and then when the animal dies, not only is there that iser asay that was there, as we said, for when it's alive, but now there's a lav as well of issing the vela. But again, we haven't proved that musukenis is mutter. So the Gemara attempts with a different raya. El mid am rachmana, since the Torah teaches us, treifa loisaychel. The Torah teaches us that one may not eat a treifa. So it says the Gemara, mechlal, that's a raya, the musukenis, ashari, that a musukenis is mutter. Because says the Gemara, disal kadaitach musukenis asiri, if we're going to suggest that one may not eat a musukenis, so again, we're going to make the following point. Hashta musukenis deloy mechasro. A musukenis is an animal that's very ill, but it's not missing any limb. Still, the Torah is teaching us, is a sira, treifa mibaya, a A trefa, as we're going to learn in the next perek, is missing something. It's missing an organ, a limb, or it's defect. Certainly should be asr. If the Torah had to teach us a trefa is an asr, it's a ride that a mesukenes is mutter. As Tosfos, not every trefa is that it's missing something. Because as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, the halacha is, let's say an animal has an extra limb. Let's say an animal has five legs. It's also considered a trefa. So what's the Gemara saying? That if a mesukenes that's not missing anything is considered asur, a trefa that's missing something, it's asur. I just identified as Taisvus a trefa that's not missing anything. So many Rishonim answer, most trefas, as we'll see in Mitzvah Shem in the next parak, are situations where something is missing. Yeah, you could find a case where it's not missing anything, but that's not a typical situation. But Taisvus has a different answer. Taisvus says, why is indeed the halacha, we're going to learn this concept, why is indeed the halacha that if an animal has an extra limb, it's a trefa? If it's missing a limb, we could understand why it's a trefa. Why if it has an extra limb, it's a trefa? So the Gemara says, kol yeser kenotl dami. Whenever it has an extra limb, the halacha, halachically, it's viewed as if it's missing. So even if it has an extra limb, it's like it's missing a limb. And therefore, the Gemara's question is even valid in a trefa that's treif because it acts extra limb. So again, the Gemara's argument at this point is that what's the raya that a mesukenes is mutter? Because if a mesukenes were usur, why does the Torah have to tell us that a treif is usur? Says the Gemara, Viduma, perhaps we can argue, hainu treifa, hainu mesukenes, that a treifa is... and a trefa and a mesukenes is one and the same. Ulav alav, and the Torah is teaching us that when you eat a mesukenes, you're going to be over two averis. One is that say of zoy sachaya, and one is the loisa say of trefa, but not to say that mesukenes is mutter. Says the Gemara, in Cain, if every animal that's a mesukenes is already osur, because we're saying it's in the group of trefa. So our question that we learned earlier comes back. We said that every nevela is included in every nevela is the mesukenes. So why would we have a special law for nevela? Im kain, nevela, the kos rachman alamali. Umam michayim, if we're saying that when the animal is already still alive, koyal abalav, you're over a lav if you eat it, the lav of trefa. And you're also over that, say, of zoysachaya, lech mimisabi bayer. Says the Gemara, that's not a question. Maybe what happened is, Dilma Haina Nevela Haina Treifa, Haina Mesukenes, they're all one category. And what the Torah is teaching us is that if one eats this animal that was a Mesukenes, after it dies, you'll be over three Averus. One Asay of Zoy Sachaya, and two Lavin, the Lav of Treifa and the Lav of Nevela. Or Lava, La Bishnei Lavin, Vasay. So we don't have a Raya yet, says the Gemara, that a Mesukenes is Mutter. El Mahacham. Says the Gemara derives from this. The Torah says, "V'chelav nevela v'chelav treifa, yosur l'chol malacha," that the chelav a nevela and a chelav a treifa may be used. However, v'ochel loisachlu, we may not eat the chelav a nevela and a treifa. And the Braisa teaches us, "V'mama l'may hilchasa osur a Torah, amra a Torah." What is the point of this pasuk? We're not allowed to eat any chelav. Why did the Torah teach us that this is Asr? Yavad is a nevela, v'yachal alisa chalif. Yavad is a trefa, v'yachal alisa chalif. Which means as follows. Every animal, from the moment it's born, has isa chalif. The chalif portion of the animal is Asr. Later on, if the animal, Rahman Salam, becomes a trefa, the animal becomes a nevela, so there's a rule of Einis Echal Alisser. Something that's already Osir cannot become Osir again. So we would say that the Chalev of a Nevela and the Chalev of a Trefa doesn't have the Isser of Nevela and Trefa. Why? Because it's already Osir from before. Teaches us the Torah that it does. That the Isser Nevela and the Isser, even though it's Osir, that even though this is already Osir as Chalev, it also is Osir as a Nevela. Even though it's also at chaylev, it's also at treifa. But the question is, why indeed? Why indeed? Don't we have a rule, enes achal alisser? The answer is because there's a rule that even though we say ein iser chal al iser, one iser cannot fall on another iser. When the second iser encompasses other things, then we say iser chal al iser. It's called iser koil. So let's look at this animal. Absolutely, this animal, the chaylev of this animal was usher from the moment it was born. But now when the animal became a trefa, now when the animal became nevela, that applies to all the other parts of the animal. Once it applies to other parts of the animal, it applies to the chaylev as well. So then we have an obvious question. If that's the rule, so why do I need a pasuk to tell us? Why do I need a pasuk to tell us that the nevela and trefa are also chaylev? We just gave an explanation that that is consistent with the halacha. I will try to say, suggest Rishonim, from where do we know that by an iser koilul we say iser chalal iser? We'll say that this is the source for it. Say to Rishonim, we can't learn from chaya to kol ha-Torah kula. Why can't we learn from chaya to kol ha-Torah kula? Because chaya is a very unique iser. Because even though the chaylev of a behema is aser, the chaylev of a chaya and the chaylev of a bird is mutter. So we can't use chaylev as a source for kol ha-Torah kula. So we're back to where we started. We know that the rule is that by an iser koilu we say iser chalal iser. So why do I need a pasuk to say that by an avail and trefa there's an iser chaylev? So I saw a number of answers. One answer is that we assumed that an animal is always, the chaylev is also before the trefa. There could be a case where it's not that way. Let's say the animal developed a defect while it's still in its mother's womb. So it's a trefa before it's a trefa before it has chaylev. Because the trefa happens the moment it develops the defect. The chaylev only comes after it's born. Another pshat that I saw, because since we see here in the Torah that even though the chaylev is osur, it's not metama like a nevela, you're allowed to use it for work. So I would think that there's no issa chaylev by a nevela and a trefa either. That's what the Torah has to tell us that there is. But then I saw a third teretz, a beautiful teretz from the Or Sameach. He says as follows. As I said a moment ago, that's the foundation of this piece of Gemara. The Isser Chaylev is a very serious Isser. We all know that Isser Chaylev is a very serious Isser. Why? Why is the Torah so concerned about Chaylev? So Ramban says a very deep word. He says, we learned Baruch Shem together, Masech the Zvachim. And we know what part of the animal of a carbon is put on the Mizbeah, the Chaylev. So to differentiate and show by we eat, by every animal, we're not allowed to eat the chaylev. That is to remind us, because the chaylev is separate. The chaylev by carbon belongs in the Mizbeach. Says the Or Sameach, but an animal that's nevela, an animal that's a trefa, can't be put on the Mizbeach. So therefore we would think that since this animal can never be put on the Mizbeach, the chaylev of this animal should be mutter. That's why the Torah has to single out that saying, even though it's a trefa, even though it's a nevela, and it can never be on the Mizbeach, its chaylev still may not be eaten. Now makes the Gemara's point. V'sakadatach, if, as we're saying, is the fact that trefa hainu musukenes, that a trefa and a musukenes are the same, and as we're saying, that every nevela is first a musukenes, and then it's a nevela, so let the Torah have just said, Lichta Rachmana, it would be enough for the Torah just to say, Chaylev Nevela, Yos Lecha Malacha, that a Chaylev Nevela indeed you could use for work. It's not Mitame. And Chaylev Trefa, if we want to teach us, if the Torah wants to teach us, that you're not allowed to eat the Chaylev of a Trefa and a Nevela, it should be just enough that the Torah should say, for Chaylev Trefa Laisachlua, that we're not allowed to eat the Chaylev of a Trefa. Vano Amina, and we'll make the following point. Umami chayim. If when the animal is already alive, asr is a trefa chayil is a chaylev, the Torah by teaching us that you're not allowed to eat the chaylev of a trefa, is asr, if we're saying that this is all one continuation, musakenes, trefa, and then nevela, so if it's asr from when it's a trefa, so certainly when it's a nevela, lachemisa mebayim, why do I have to have a special pasuk to teach us that you're not allowed to eat the chaylev of a nevela? The chaylev of a nevela It's just a continuation of a Mesukenes. Elo, mid the cost of Rachmanot Nevela, if the Torah had to single out and tell us that one is not allowed to eat the chel of a Nevela, Michal, it's obvious the treifa lav hainu Mesukenes. That a treifa is not a Mesukenes, and Mesukenes and Nevela is one category, that the animal is first a Mesukenes and then a Nevela, has nothing to do with a treifa. Treifa and Mesukenes have nothing to do with each other, and therefore we need special pasuk for treifa and special pasuk for Nevela, and a Mesukenes is not a treifa, not a Nevela, and is mutter. Ask the Gemara. Your Rai is not compelling. Maskla ma'abar avashi. Dilma lo'ayla ma'ayim aloch, hainu treifa, hainu Mesukenes. A treifa and Mesukenes is the same. We asked the question, if every Mesukenes is a treifa, and the Torah already tells us that we're not allowed to eat that chalev, why does the Torah again have to tell us that we're not allowed to eat the chalev nevela? Or the kamrit, and your question was, nevela, the kos rachman alamali, why does the Torah have to say nevela? Answers the Gemara, because even though we've been learning our entire shir, that a Mesukenes and nevela, if a Mesukenes is osur, we're going to understand that Mesukenes is the first step towards the Nevela. There's going to be a case, Bahach Nevela de Loyasim Mekoyach Mesukenes. There's a Nevela that doesn't happen because of Mesukenes. Hey Chidami, Sha'asa Gistra, that we learned previously in our Masechta, that if somebody just cuts the animal in two, that's considered a Nevela. That animal that you cut in two was perfectly healthy a moment ago, and now it's a Nevela. And Tosfos points out, if the Anu Gemara is saying, just for this moment of the Havamina, that it's possible to have a Nevela without it first being a Mesukenes, says Tosfos, then the Gemara at the beginning of the Shir, when the Gemara wanted to say that every Mesukenes and Nevela follows in one procedure, would be wrong, because here the Gemara is saying it doesn't necessarily happen that way. Answers the Gemara, even if it was a Gistera, Hasam Nami Epshloy Mesukenes Porta Mekama the Lifsuk Laruba. What happens? You start cutting the animal. When is the animal considered a gistera? When is the animal considered a gistera that it's a nevela? Only when you cut most of the animal. What happens before you cut the most of the animal? It's already Mesukenes. So the Gemara is suggesting if we're going to say a Mesukenes is usur, every Mesukenes is first a Mesukenes and then a nevela. So why does the Torah have to say Nevela if we already learned Mesukenes and Treifa? It must be. Why does the Torah have to say the Chel of a Nevela is Asur? It must be because the Chel of a Nevela and the Chel of a Treifa is two separate things, and a Mesukenes is Mutter. That's one Raya, that a Mesukenes is Mutter. Now the Gemara brings other Rayas. Imkain, Bibai say, Imkain, if a Mesukenes is a Treifa and then it's a Nevela, even if we would have wanted to keep it all in one pasuk, lema chel of nevela v'treifa. Why does the Torah have to completely separate the chel of the nevela and the chel of the treifa? Chel of lameli, zui shei chel of m'psura, to teach us that this is the case where the animal, this a chel of is there from before, that the chalev was first was part of the meat, which means as follows: the issa chalev on a Mesukenes is there from before. This a chalev and this a treifa only come later. So that's only by nevela and treifa, not by Mesukenes. Vibay seima. Another raya that a Mesukenes is mutter, mahacha. The pasuk in Yecheskel teaches us that Hashem says to Yecheskel, I want you to be in pain. He says, for many days, I think it's over 300 days, sleep only on your left side, you can't turn over. Then for 40 days, sleep only on your right side. And Yecheskel says to Hashem, V'yoyma, Aha Hashem Elokim, Hini Nafshi, I'm going to speak about my soul, Loi Metuma, I didn't become Tamei, V'Nevela V'Treifa Loi Chalti Menu'urai V'Ata, I never ate a Nevela V'Treifa, V'Loi Baba Pi Pasa Pigal, I never ate Pigal, So now, that's the pasuk that Yechizkel says. So what's the difficulty with this pasuk? The difficulty with this pasuk is that Yechizkel, so to speak, is praising himself, that he didn't do all these things. But nobody's allowed to eat on the veil of a treifa. And Yechizkel was a kohen. A kohen's not allowed to be mitame himself. So what's Yechizkel saying that he did extra? These are basic halachas. And therefore Gemara explains. Hini nafshlu mitama, what Yechizkel meant when he said that I never became tamei, it meant shlo yeharti b'yoyim, I never had an improper machshava b'day, lova le'tumah b'layla, that I should chas v'shalom have an emission at night. So Mefarshim, of course, ask, everybody has to watch themselves from having improper thoughts. Nishmart mikol davara. So what's Yechizkel? Tosfos asked the question. What's Yechizkel praising himself? So Tosfos answers that even though a person is not supposed to have improper thoughts, it's very difficult to prevent having improper thoughts. And Yechizkel said, I came to Madrega that I didn't have any proper thoughts. Another pshat that I saw is that sometimes you're allowed to have thoughts about your wife, but that could bring improper thoughts. So Yechizkel was very careful not to think about these things at all. Furthermore, the Rishonim say, what pshat shlo yeharti b'yoyim? So they say a very nice pshat. Certainly, if somebody thinks improper thoughts right before he goes to sleep, there's a real concern. But let's say somebody's going to think about them by day, where there's so many hours till he goes to sleep, maybe it shouldn't be usur. Tells us Yechizkel, I was always careful. Continues the pasuk Yechizkel saying about himself. V'nevel of a treif loichalti menu orai shloichalti baser koiskois ma'olam. I never ate from an animal that people were in a hurry to shecht. I never why they hurry to shecht because it's a mesukanis. So, as the Gemara makes the point in a moment. If a Musukenis is mutter, and Yechizkel is saying about himself that I was careful not to eat that meat, so we can understand why Yechizkel is saying I did something extra. But if a Musukenis is asur, so what's Yechizkel saying? It's a raya that a Musukenis is mutter. So I saw the Mefarshim explain that actually these two things that Yechizkel said about himself are very connected. That even though Yechizkel could have made a very strong argument, as we just said, you're allowed to eat from this meat, that's a musukenes. Yechizkel knew that who is the person that is going to have the siyata d'shmaya that I just spoke about a moment ago, that won't have improper thoughts? The person who's careful about macholos asuris. A person who's careful about macholos asuris, and Mefarshim takes it a step further. Kais kais means that you ate it, shaloi keder chachila, which we know apidin. If you eat something not in the normal fashion, it's not usur, technically, according to the law. But Yechizkel realized that if he's going to be careful in Macholos Asuris, then he'll have siyata d'shmaya not to have improper thoughts. That's pshat, mitzvah gereris mitzvah. If the person is careful in one mitzvah, that brings him to be careful to the next things. Continues Yechizkel saying about himself, v'loi baba fi pasa pigel, I didn't eat from an animal that was a shayla on it. So Mefarshim discussed this as a very important concept in halacha, that an animal that there's a shayla on, he was makbid not to eat. First of all, how does that mean? How do we see that? So Mefarshim say, because what does pigel mean? Pigel means something, as we learned extensively, a machshava. As soon as he thought that it's asr, he never ate from it, even though the Rav told him it's mutter. That's one pshat I saw. But then I saw a different pshat. Some sofer says this pshat, it's very important in halacha. What does it mean, shloi bab, pipas, a pigle? It means shloi har b'chacham. So does that mean that if you have a question, and a Rav tells you that it's perfectly mutter, you're not allowed to eat from that meat? So some sofer says there's a difference between what happened with the Rav. Sometimes, you bring a question to the Rav, and the Rav tells you immediately it's mutter. That's not called Basar Shayar B'Chacham. On the contrary, I saw the Shar Mitzion B'Halacha, and the Daki Tshuva actually precedes him, quotes a B'nai Yisoschar, that let's say you have a piece of milk, a drop of milk that falls into your pot, and it's bottled B'Shishim, and you say, I'm not going to eat from it, I'm a machmer, that's apikarsis. If the Torah says you're allowed to eat it, you're allowed to eat it. However, that's what happened. If the chacham, pigel means machshava, if the chacham had to look for a heter that he didn't eat, if it was obvious that it's mutter, that's not called basa shayar b'chacham. So, Mishur Rav Nosson Amru, Rav Nosson says what he meant was, shloi chalti b'behem shloi her matanasahel, which means as follows. We know that we have to give matnas kuna. From every animal, we have to give a portion to the kohen. Yecheskel, as I said a moment ago, was a kohen. So the question is, if the matanas were not removed, but I'm a kohen, am I allowed to eat it anyway? Because what's the difference if it's separated and they give it to me, or I eat it all together? So, e amrit b'shlamas shariyei, if we're going to say that it's mutter, we go back to musukenes, haner vusti cheskel. That's what Yecheskel is saying, that even though it's mutter, I didn't eat it. Early amrit asira, if we're going to say that this meat is anyway usur, my revusi de cheskel, so what's Yecheskel saying? Everybody's not allowed to eat it. It must be that a musukenes is mutter. Mefarshim also make a very interesting point. They say, when it came to the musukenes, he used the word shloi chalti. Chalti means that he didn't eat a kazayis. But less than a kazayis, he would have eaten. Basar shari by chacham, he says, v'loi ba b'fi basar. He didn't even eat even less than a kazayis. He didn't let any of that come into his mouth. So now we go back to what we said at the beginning of the shir. Heichi dami musukenes. Our entire shir, we've been discussing musukenes. Ask the Gemara, what is a musukenes? If you stand it up and it can't stand. So all the Paiskim suggest, it doesn't mean that you actually lift the animal. Because if you lift the animal, anything will stand. You can lift anything and make it stand. What it means is that you hit the animal or you scream at the animal. So normally an animal that you hit or you scream at will stand up. If this animal doesn't have enough energy to be able to stand itself up, that's the musukenes. Rav Chanir Basham Mishmei the Rav Amar Afila Oichel B'Kiyos. Even if the animal is eating pieces of wood, so it's obviously strong, if it can't stand, it's a musukenes. Rambay Cheskel Amar Afila Oichel Kairos. Even if the animal is eating a bean, even bigger than just pieces of wood, doesn't make a difference. B'Sur Masna Hachi. This is the way this Gemara was taught in Surah. However, the way this Gemara was taught in Medisa was, Heichi dami musukenes, Omer Rav Yehuda Merav, Kol Shem Amidna Maisoi Veino Emedes, Vafilo Echle Bekiyas, even if it's eating pieces of wood, Rav Beiches Koloma, Afilo Echle Kairos, even if it's eating beams, if it can't stand itself up, then it's musukenes.